to be born anew. This is what is meant by that. You see, by rising from body consciousness. And that's also meant by, you know, by twice born. So these are the things given to the children of 5, 7 years, 9 years old, the very first thing. What is learned in childhood, I will say what is learned in the womb of the mother, that's lost forever. Lost in the way. We should be very careful to bring up children, mind that. Whether they are in the womb or outside. And this is what is said during, to be born in you, to die there. Learn to die so that you may begin to live. Then you will have everlasting life, not to evade the cycle of the birth and death. You follow me? Very delicate point it is, but we must understand it and live by it. So, it is done how? By the grace of this Master. If with the grace of the Master we learn to die while alive, then you know that another law is working, you see. When one machine is going on, if those grains which are put between the two parts of the machine, you see, they will be ground. If some grains stick to the handle of the machine, they will be saved. So it is said it is a great blessing to have a living master to keep his commandments. That's the main. So one therefore has therefore to forsake the flesh for the sake of the spirit. If one is anxious to escape from the perpetual wheel of life on earth. I'm quoting from Bible. Even if you've got other scriptures like that. But if one under the guidance of a master learns the practical process of self-analysis at will and rises into the beyond, that life, the whole angle vision is changed. The result is after that, thereafter, continue to live on earth without attachment. When you rise above body consciousness daily, you are all attachments and gone. You got hundred thousands of dollars with you have got no money, you cannot. You won't try to amass, the rights of others. You won't try to squeeze the blood of others. Because though you incur karma, and they won't go along with you. So when you rise above body consciousness and daily, the whole angle vision is changed. You won't do anything unbecoming, because you are not to carry with you. Ill-gotten, ill-spent. Christ said, you see, he that taketh not this cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. You have money. He that findeth his life shall lose it. Just follow the meaning. Very clear, very simple word. If you rise above outer life, then you have everlasting life. Learn to die so that you may begin to live. And you maintain this life, the other is gone. He that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. What life? We dying from outside. You see? Not dying, but we dying your attention from all outside. Rise above body consciousness. He says, for my sake. And you find it. Then again, you'll find Bhagavan said, if any man will come after me, help me, is what he said. Let him deny himself. And take up his cross daily and follow him. You mean, what is taking of cloth? Let him stand up, this is cloth. Rise up. Then follow. When you rise up one whole angle of vision, the change. You won't torment anybody, you won't squeeze blood of anybody. You're all out of contact with the world, with the all above world, you see, fair, honest. So whosoever doth not, again he says, whosoever doth not bear this cross and comes after me cannot be my disciple. What more you know? Can we ever expect if we don't keep up the commandments of the Master, how can we save the wheel of coming and going? Simply saying we have got no time, we have this and that thing, after all we are sowing seeds further from day to day. So therefore, you see, death in life or death in Christ is referred to these as fina fisha. Learn to die so that you may begin to live. So death in Christ means just we die from outside and come in contact with the Christ power within you. In the Persian words, in other words, they say like that. Fina fisha. In Hindi, when Sikh masters, they say, Gur Gur, to be one in the, what you say, tomb of the Guru. As I and my father are one, the initiate who becomes one with the Guru and the Guru in him, this is taking death in Christ or death in the Guru. So this is can save us from coming into this. Longer we go on sowing seeds, they will grow. They will bear good fruit. Be cautious not to grow any. So what is that by knowing which nothing more is desired to be had? This is only coming in contact with the God power within you. So the masters, you see, those who are word made flesh, it is spoken very highly of them. When you sit by them, that is why Maulana Rumi said, if you sit 1 hour with the master, how? Receptive, not your body sitting in your wandering outside. That would give you effect which would not you would have by 100 years of tradition. You sit by him, they give the example of a scent flower, scent seller, you get revived anything, perfume, all free. And he gives you a pile of scent, then if he initiates you to the ground, from the day you come to the feet of the Master and he initiates you, he takes up the work of your winding of all actions. Only if you obey commandments of the Master, 100%. So those who are word makers, such a master, you see, can annihilate what? By his look, and at all his sins, karmas, past, by his look and word. Eyes are the windows of the soul, whose soul is drenched with God, who is made flesh. He is the bread of life that has come down from heaven. You see, whosoever taketh of it shall have everlasting life. And further, this bread how can be eaten? Eyes are the window of the soul, through the eyes. By sitting in deceptive mood, forgetting all other, you feel your mind won't think of any trouble, all quiet. You go deep down in the depths of the silence, you find the very silence becomes vocal. These are hard facts I am putting before you. So, in His presence, in the presence of the Master, the karmas fly like autumn leaves before a wind blows. For the time you have no thought occurs in your mind. It is just subdued. And such actions react, you mind that? The moment you have got with what Master, with your mind still, say for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, or a year, that will have reaction or not? Every, that's our reaction, which won't react. No, for that time you won't have mind troublesome later. The more you become receptive, near or away, both. Physical presence, of course, cannot be underrated. You see for yourself. Those who are even living far away, the other side of the ocean, and the Master living this side, direct your attention to that. Now you see by the such different way, you can hear the voice, you can see men talking from 1,000 miles, through radio, to study the law of nature. Science is finding out laws of nature which are hidden. Not all found out, but they are trying to find out. So great, I would say, great is the power of the retribution, retributive angel, I would say. And none can escape its fury. But it does fly in fear of death before the wounding blast of the world, winding up. The Master uses the word by giving you contact with that. So there are two ways now to exhaust, to finish up the vast and limitless storehouse of karma. We work still in so many. If Master does not meet us then, there are two ways now. Either we should allow them to exhaust. And I have quoted you one instance, there are others too, in which 100 births back action react in this birth, being blind from the very birth. How long periods of yours will take? And quite uncertain, be kind. Mind again goes on sowing seeds. There is no end to it. So one way is to exhaust the storehouse in due course of time, which is almost not possible. The other one is to obtain from your Master Soul a practical knowledge and experience of the science of life. On the earthly, as well as in the spiritual planes too, and to work right now for transcension from one to the other while there is still the chance and opportunity of man body. This we can do in man body, in no other body. Two ways. The first cause will take myriads of years, you see, to reach the goal, which is also quite uncertain, because mind again go on seeds. Some will be fruit, bear fruit, others again sown more. So by adapting the second cause, one seeks a competent spiritual master who can wind up the karmic account of the bankrupt spirit. When such a master takes in his own hand the process of liquidating the endless process of karma of the past, you see, this is very fortunate. As I just quoted you, one Sikh Guru Master said, Oh Guru, oh Master, what is the use of coming to your feet if our karmas are not lost, are finished? What is Buddha going to the feet of a lion if we dare the jackal howlers? When you come to a master, what he says, fallen, no more, so fallen, not fallen. He says, from today on, are you taking up the advice? Keep that. Do no more. Criticize yourself and you like to criticize others. And we don't. Simply saying, I'm a sinner, I'm a sinner, that won't do. Be very watchful on your every thought that occurs to you. And come in contact with that non-power, the contact which you have been given. That good morphness and mind will, what you say, die. When you get that nectar of life, of the water of life, the bliss of that, it will leave us all out of enjoyment. When there is no desire, where there is no desire, there is God. You see? What is man? God plus desire. And what is God? Man minus desire. And these desires are raised up by mind through your own faculty. Very simple way now, I think. You follow me. So if you follow that, everything comes up, will come up all right. And first he said, do no more. And he puts him on the high road. You see, you got high roads here. How fast, go fast. You got the high roads within you of the light and sound. Go fast. There's no retardation on the way. You can go quickly back to your home. He gives you the high road, you see, God order. He does not usually interfere with the prarabdha karma, you see, because in that case, you would like to land. He gives you contact with the spirit, which is the light, the sound principle within you. And also give you contact with the holy word which reduces to ashes all sanchit karmas and any unfructified karmas, recent karmas, and finja. Guru Nanak in Japji says, you see, lost and when he is given all his instruction material to give for the, on the life, way of life, last of all he says, this example, when the hands are defiled, that can be washed away by water. When the clothes are get dirty, we can wash away by soap. But then he says, when mind is defiled by the sins, it can be purified only by coming in contact with the world within you, which is given by the Master to you, the very first. First, he gives you two things, to rise above body consciousness, but you die daily, and you come in contact with the world within you. He watches all sins of the past. Men do not become saints and sinners merely by word, Guru Nanak said. As one soul, so it comes. Nanak, men come and go by the wheel of birth and death as ordained by his will. His lost clothing, chapter 3. Our action, good or evil, will be brought before his court. And by our own deeds shall we move higher or be caught to the depths. Now it is two ways before you. One to go up to your father's home, the other to go down. So man body is a junction, I would say. From you have your way back to God or to go back. Come back, that's all. And that's only by understanding the law of cause and effect and acting up to it. and the master looks after it that all actions and things have gone up. Without him only for that purpose, and his ways are too funny. And one should do no more. When our master was there, sometimes in hundreds of people, one word, what he should have said, I have done this sin. Well, anybody is there who can bear me blind of that sin? Who is there? No. They said, no, do no more. And do well. So very first day, you see, he told us, keep your diary. You are fortunate, I would say. In the old days, men used to sit by the master for years. When they saw the vessel was clean, only utensils were clean, only then they put in something. Now you get to very first day, two things. Rising of body consciousness and content within how many of you? If you rise daily, you out of which you what won't affect you, you that is air conditioned you will become. Prarabdha karma also won't affect you so much as we know. Cry like an angle of vision will change by rising of body consciousness daily. Is it not a blessing? So, then he says, those who have communed with the world, their tires shall end, and their faces shall flame with glory. Not only shall have liberation, salvation, O Nanak, but many more shall find freedom with you. Not one. So what is such a... So it is therefore what is wanted, you know, to save the wheel of life and death. So it is therefore paramount importance that we should seek a master competent to wind up the otherwise endless cycle of karma and seek refuge at the lotus feet and free ourselves of the bewitching influence of the actions, of deeds. This is love karma. You have been given the two ways, one way, which is the only way back, that is you have been given a contact with the inner world within you, and also you have been given how to rise above body consciousness, take cross daily. Those who do not take cross daily, they are not my disciples. All of us. So you should be very careful what you think. Sometimes in frivolous ways you say so many things. So that carries effect. So you have to be very self-disciplined. Think twice before you speak. When you speak, just think whether it will do good or bad. What is good, then give out. What is good of others is not don't tell. So this is the law of karma, you see. If we understand it, we have got opportunity, I think, put out the way, with the grace of God and the grace of our Master, I would say, His grace is working. With His grace, you are all being blessed with these things. Baba Jamal Singh was there, he used to initiate anybody who said, look here, I am now residing with you. Take care of me. Don't see that I am not looking to you. That's the master power within you. Don't deceive him. Even if you deceive him, he won't be deceived. Be true to your own self. This is what I always say. If you are true to your own self, the God is within you, the master power is within you. So this is love karma that going on like that. Inexorable is love karma. No escape. I tell you what to speak of hearty men, what to speak of the incarnation they are told to. It is truly favor, praise of the Master that we are saved. You know, incarnations also respect the Masters. They are their guru. Lord Krishna is his own guru, English is way with the 12 way. Lord Rama had his guru, isn't it? Vishishth. But to sit at the feet of the master is a great blessing, you see. You wind up all your actions of the past. We have simply to keep his commandments, nothing more. He does not want anything from you in return. He is pleased when you are all safe. That's why our master at the age of 92, he is working for the good of humanity. In the old age, must have taken rest, you see. They don't rest. Go by life anything. The more they save, the better. And they work under the orders of God. Now you will feel how blessed you are, how fortunate you are. First you have got the man body. Further you have something save you from coming and going. If you are attached to the master power within you, where will you go? Why we come back to the earth again and again? Because we are attached to the world. If we are really attached to the master power within you, nobody will bring you back. You will go where he will go. In very simple ways, like the very intricate law of karma, you find now how blessed we are. We don't realize the importance of this. What boon you have been given. So please remain where you are, your chief. Keep up your diaries strictly. Find time daily to die. Take care of daily. Only sitting and doing what to rise above body consciousness and take. And remain in contact with that. Not here alone, you see, but in the spiritual place above too. There are so many places. Macrocosm is in the microcosm. Further guidance also required. The more you are devoted to the commandments of the master out or within, you reach your home. That's the ultimate goal of getting man body. All scriptures say so. So in man body only, even those rishis of the old, whose souls, you see, enjoyed higher bliss and they returned to the earth, they selected the man body. Because in man body alone you could go back home. So that's what I understood, I placed before in very simple words, quite understandable way, and live up to it, please. This is what is wanted. We do pity on others. Why don't you pity on your own self to save you from the evil of coming and going? Charity begins at home, is it not? We cannot have pity on our own self and save us from coming and going. What pity you can do to others? So have pity on yourself, that's all. You've got the golden opportunity, this man body, once it passes away out of you. Kabir said, who knows when you get away this man body and you'll be able to do this work. So this is very calm consideration, you see. And to follow gently, you are sure to reach God, you are not to come back. When you are under control of master, then no lord or judgment can sit over you. It's you who takes all karmas in hand to punish you or to save you. That power has been given by God to them. Christ also owns it, is he saying? All other masters say so. They are the God in him, you see, that's the only thing. They are word made flesh. I hope you have followed this law of karma. Try to. That is why all the great ones say, think twice before you speak. Guru Arjan say, be careful of the sins you commit unknowingly. By frivolous talk, so many sins, you see. Talk only what is necessary. Why talk in the frivolous talk? And also even talking whether to do good to anybody or harm anybody. Then actually you have shared many stories, the stories of the Buddha here.
Good morning, and welcome to the satsang for Master Kripal Singh. The recording you just heard was the last half of a talk Master gave on October 29, 1972, in Chicago, and it was given the name The Law of Karma. Our reader this morning is Rick Casey. Hello, Rick.
Hello, David.
And go right ahead.
Thank you. I will be reading this morning from the book God-Man, picking up where I left off last time, in chapter 11. What, after all, is the value of learning when Nam lies far beyond all holy books? Books, after all, contain a description of God's knowledge, but cannot actually deliver the goods. Know ye for certain that the essence of all knowledge and wisdom lies in Duni, sound principle, and as such it is indescribable. This essence, then, is within us, but we cannot have it unless we know how to tap inside, as Emerson puts it. Dr. J.D. Rhine, the parapsychologist and researcher, tells us in his book, Mind and the New World, that there is something in man that transcends all matter. If spiritual knowledge could be had from books, then all the learned people would by now be saints. But in actual experience, we see that in spite of all their book learning, they continue to be as material as the very libraries that house these books. Laden with the dead weight of book knowledge, they may be likened to an ass staggering under the dead weight of sandalwood and experiencing not the sweet scent emanating therefrom. Like a ladle in the pudding, they are ignorant of the taste of the pudding. In this age of learning, when the world is literally flooded with books, there is unfortunately no flood of spirituality and not even a sprinkling of spiritually minded people. It is only the advent of a master of truth that brings spirituality into the limelight, and many there are who become dyed in spiritual colors. A conscious spirit can be activated and quickened into life by someone who is more conscious. Neither books nor intellectual knowledge can do this thing. No person, no matter how intellectual, can infuse life into another unless he himself has life. To talk of spirituality is much easier than to live spiritually. Such persons only dabble in spirituality and just make a show of it and cannot do any real good. Maulana Rumi says, come under the overall influence of some saint, thou canst not find the path from a mere imitator. In the Gospel, we find the words of Christ, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Matthew 7:15. An association with a saint is bound to create in a jiva a longing for spirituality. This, in fact, is the touchstone for the worldly wise. Such a being is worthy of respect and adoration with all our hearts and souls. Whoever comes in contact with him is magnetized and is charged with spirituality and taken along to spiritual realms. My body, mind, and wealth all belong to the Master. His grace has provided the Holy Grail and made me whole. The world holds no greater benefactor than he. He who contacts a sod is ferried safely across. The ideal of the Master is spiritual. He is not limited to his physical body as we are. He is Word personified. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The physical body is just like a raiment which has to be cast off both by the disciple and the Master the moment this spiritual journey begins, as it is the untrammeled spirit that has to tread the spiritual path. But so long as he works on the physical plane as a teacher to the stray brethren, blessed indeed is his form, full of godly grace, shedding godly light all around him, and charging all and sundry with powerful rays of spirituality. Man is the teacher of man, and ideal man has ever been the ideal of man. Those who regard it as idolatry do not know the secret of the Master's greatness. This man worship, as they call it, is much better than book worship or idol worship, because it is a worship of higher consciousness by lower consciousness. Life comes from life, not from inert matter. Hazrat Khusro, a great Sufi poet, in his well-known couplet tells us, people allege that Khusro has become an idol worshiper. Verily, do I admit it, for the world has nothing to do with me. Again, another Persian poet from his sickbed said, oh, ignorant physician, take thy leave. For thou knowest not that for the lovesick there is no other remedy except the sight of his beloved. Similarly, Guru Nanak, in his childhood, when afflicted with the pangs of love, asked the physician who came to attend him to quit, as he could not find out the illness of his heart. There's nothing in common between a worldly wise man and a devotee. One who has never known devotion cannot know the worth of a master, who is a polarized God shedding kindly light in the world. Truly speaking, the term guru is not an appellation of any person. It signifies and stands for a dynamic power that works in and through a particular human form and is the ideal for us all. This is the power that helps in spiritual advancement. Like a floodlight, he floods the world with his spiritual light, and one cannot see anything besides light. The aspirants for spirituality gather around him like moths and make a holocaust of themselves in his august and holy presence. Kabir Sahib says, the ignorant regard the Master as a human being and are caught in the whirlwind of the world and sink down. Their mind and body are of no consequence, and they cannot gain anything. They cannot develop any devotion in themselves, hence cannot escape from bondage. Such jivas make a headlong dash for hellfire and ceaselessly move with the giant wheel of creation. Chapter 12. Guru is Superman or Godman. As a man, Guru is an ideal man. In him shines the very sun of spirituality. He is the fountainhead of life. He is an epitome of the entire creation, visible and invisible, right from Sat-Lok down to the physical plane. No one can know him fully, even as it is impossible to swim across an ocean. For a dip in the water, one does not go into mid-ocean, but is content with the water at the beach or the bathing ghat. Through the perfect man, one can enjoy the love, light, and life of God. If we ask of his greatness, of his native place, how he has come down, and what his mission is in life, all that can be said is that he has come directly from the kingdom of God, or Sat-Lok, and having crossed the various intermediary planes, Tap-Lok, Jan-Lok, Swar-Lok, Banwar-Lok, etc., has reached the physical world, or Bu-Lok, just to manifest the Godhead that is his to the world weary. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew 11:28. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Luke 19:10. Murshid e Kamil, perfect master, is a veritable abode of God's virtues in fullness and in abundance. The kindly light of heaven shines in him, and he diffuses it among mankind. The love of God is surging in him like heaving sea waters. The moving waters at their priest-like task of pure ablution round earth's human shores. Keats. And above all, he is the life of life, and his greatest mission is to impart the life impulse to the stark cold jivas, all immersed in worldly pursuits, dead to higher instincts. God may well be perceived in God-man. It is said that God made him after his own image and asked the angels to bow before him. Maulana Rumi says, he has placed the veritable sun in man. When a person rises in cosmic awareness, he finds that the master is the hub of the entire universe. He is truth personified, possessing the very essence of God and fit to be worshipped by all. He is the leader and guide of mankind, the greatest, the highest, and the perfect one among them. He is the genuine abode of all that is good and noble. He is the prototype of God, working as his viceroy and administering his laws on all planes, physical and spiritual. He is gifted with forensic acuteness, discriminative acumen, and sound judgment. He may be unlettered, but still he is the most learned. Even as a man, he is the holiest of the holy, most pious and most loving, with love that far transcends societies, countries, and nations. His self is co-evolved with mankind. He is the citizen of the world, and his appeal is one of universal interest. He is, in short, the deputy of God, come into the world to share his love, life, and life with erring humanity. In this world, he lives just like any other individual. Although in the world, he is not of the world. He loves all people much more than parents love their children. He knows and looks beyond our shortcomings and smilingly helps us to overcome them. Full of compassion, Christ-like, with sore and bruised feet, the Son of Man ceaselessly goes about with insatiable hunger in his soul, passionately seeking to recover and retrieve that which is lost. Lost man, his brother, lost soul. He may look like a man, but in reality, he is more than a man, more than a Superman, indeed. He is perfect in every respect, physically, mentally, morally, spiritually, and as a manifestation of God. With all his greatness, he works as the lowliest of the low and humblest of the humble. He combines in himself power and poverty, intellect and love, greatness and humility. Master of truth as he is, he far excels even a Superman. His sway extends to purely spiritual regions, which lie beyond human limitations of time, space, and causation. He can, at will, leave the physical body, tread the sun and moon, traverse subtle and causal planes, and transcend Parabrahm and beyond. Science, with its material accomplishments, is groping in the dark. All scientific research is still in the material world, where the scientists are relentlessly working with all the mental and moral force at their command. They have no idea of the various planes to which the Master of Truth has access at his free will and sweet pleasure. Those who accept the Master's teachings and work under his direction can see for themselves. All the saints are at one in their conclusion. The kingdom of God lies within. Christ tells us, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, lo here, or lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Luke 17:20-21. Again, in Gurbani we have, everything is within you, and nothing is outside you. Quest without is fruitless. When the crest jewel, O brethren, is lodged within you, he who searches without is yet in the wilderness. The human body is the temple of God. It is the real church, the synagogue, and the mosque made by God. And what a pity we try to seek him in man-made houses. One who knows how to cut deep in the cavern of the mind and experiment in the laboratory of the soul can successfully see the wonder of sublime sights and hear the celestial strains of the harmony divine. In the body lies everything, khand, mandal, and patal, inner planes, high and low, including the netherworld. In it is lodged the crest jewel of spirituality, and a devotee can have this in abundance. The entire macrocosm is in the microcosm. In this body, one can find Nam, word, if one were to follow the instructions of the Master. Sanai, the great philosopher, tells us, in the kingdom of the human body, there are innumerable firmaments and powers that work in order. The spirit has to traverse many a high and low region, mountain and river valley. There are many plains, oceans, wildernesses, and bewildering heights of which one can hardly conceive. In this mighty maze, the physical world is just like a tiny speck on a big ocean. The human body, being the temple of God, is just a model of the grand creation, and whoever delves into it is able to know the secret of the creation. Brahman and Pind have been fashioned alike. The investigations of the one automatically reveal the mystery of the other, like an open book. Great indeed is man, gifted as he is, with untold possibilities. The very macrocosm is lodged in the microcosm of the body. We, however, look to outer raiment and are concerned with it constantly, little knowing what is behind the folds of this garment. We nourish and pamper the body, but allow the roots to run dry. The roots of the entire creation originate in the subtle region, which we can reach by a process of inversion. Verily, I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. Mark 10:15. But, unfortunately, we never have a peep within because we are averse to becoming as a little child. Emerson, a great philosopher, also exhorts us to tap inside. Bergson advises us to take a mortal leap within to land at the source of all knowledge. The lessons of the process of inversion, tapping within, the mortal leap within, or becoming as a little child, as Jesus puts it, are given in detail by the Master of Truth, both by word of mouth and by instructions on the various planes as the spirit travels onward under his personal guidance and care. Saints are scientists of the spiritual world and masters of paravidya, knowledge of the beyond, i.e., knowledge of that which lies beyond reason and intellect and can be learned or known through the sense of perception. It is the subject of extrasensory perception, ESP, as it is called by the modern psychic science researchers and parapsychologists, who, as J.D. Ryan tells us in his book, Mind and the New World, have discovered through their investigations that there is something operative in the human being which transcends the laws of matter. The Master of Truth is fully conversant with that something and is competent to grant the full extrasensory perception as an eye surgeon can restore sight to the physical eyes. The master, like Buddha, tells us that physical life is all misery, but that beyond it, there are countless subtle planes where one experiences nothing but bliss and light. Every day, he goes to these planes and tells us of his experiences. Those who follow his instructions and experiment in the laboratory of the mind under his guidance see subtle worlds just as we see the physical, and the results are as sure, certain, and definite as 2 and 2 makes 4. Chapter 13, Master and the Homegoing of Jivas. Master comes from his spiritual abode to call the Jivas back home. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. John 6:44. Our spirit is exactly of the same essence as God's. Having been separated from that ocean of bliss, it has become imprisoned in the prison house of body and mind. Saints also come down from their spiritual abode to take back home such spirits as are prepared for the return journey. It is, in fact, God himself who comes in the garb of man to lead the Jivas out of the tentacles of the negative powers after they have served the period of probation. This is the fulfillment of the grand covenant or the great law. Man is to be the teacher of man, teaching the true redemption and homegoing with rejoicing. When the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, they that hear shall live. John 5:25. He who sent thee into the world calls thee back. Return ye to thy native home in Sahaj, beyond the threefold regions, physical, mental, and causal. One with God, they come into this world under his behest as his plenipotentiaries to administer his law concerned with home going. This is their mission, and gracefully they fulfill his purpose. Well, I believe I have come to the end of my time. I was reading from the book God-Man.
Thank you, Rick, for reading for us. There were 75 people at today's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And thank you, Master, for providing this for us.
If you wake up now, you'll find very untold treasure of divinity now existing in you. If you do not wake up, this hidden treasure of divinity which lies in you already, that will pass out. You will not be benefited by that because you have been leading the life of the senses only. You have to transcend them.